If God doesn't play favorites, judging and rewarding on the basis of Christ's payment and on one's choices, are leaders, citizens, and churches ready to mirror this character in daily life? Does spiritual and public life reflect impartiality, or is favoritism towards the powerful, the popular, or the familiar distorting justice and your witness? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Check us out at fpiw.org and fpiwaction.org. Hey, we hope you are enjoying these daily devotions. We are trying to prepare your hearts for your daily walk with God in the public square and try to relate it to things that are happening around us to a certain degree. So we hope you're enjoying them. If you are, subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender huddle. It really does help us grow together. So we're in a series called Practice. And remember, whatever field you show up to is the one you're going to be practicing. So if you show up to a basketball court, you're going to practice basketball. If you're going to show up to a baseball field, you're going to practice baseball. If you show up to a football field, you're going to practice football. So don't tell me that you're a Christian, but then you show up to the field of unrighteousness and you're practicing unrighteousness and you're saying, but I'm a Christian. No, it doesn't work that way. Football players show up at football fields. So what field are you showing up to today? We are going to look at a very short scripture. It says in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, "For there is no partiality with God." Period. God is impartial. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Think about that for a moment. Is it good that God's impartial? Because some of us really want him to be partial towards us and not towards our enemy. So if God is impartial and he doesn't show partiality to anyone, we got to decide, good or bad. When it's his grace, we're like, oh, it's so good that he shows equal grace to everyone. He will also show equal judgment to everyone. And the only way that anyone's sin is paid for is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he will be impartial about that. And so here we go. Exodus 18:21, it says, "Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people." Did you know that this is the verse that we get our elections? The founders of our Constitution and the framers, they came up and they're like, hey, Exodus 18:21, it is the verse. This says, "Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men," people who are able, people who fear God. You have to have a reverence for God, men of truth. You got to be a truth teller. And those who hate dishonest gain or take a bribe, and you shall place them over, place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, or fifties, or tens. So four criteria to being one of God's ministers of governance or judges, you might say: able, truthful, hate a bribe, and have a reverence or fear for God. So what does that mean? If God doesn't show partiality, should we be impartial? Should we have a jury system and a justice system and a legislative branch and a executive branch? And should we have business owners and pastors and leaders and those in our community who are impartial? I think so. I think you need to be able, fear God, truthful, and don't take a bribe. And so we see in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "For the Lord your God is the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality, nor does he take a bribe." You can't buy God off. Powerful. You can't pay for your repentance. What do I mean by that? You can't go get a dollar bill, a $10 bill, and say, "I did this. Now I'm going to go pay to get out of jail." The only payment that is acceptable by God is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that payment comes by faith through grace. God is impartial, and he won't take a bribe. Isn't that interesting that he says in Exodus 18:21 that we have these four criteria for those who are selected or elected among us? And then he said, describes himself also in Deuteronomy as impartial and not take a bribe. Leviticus 19:15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. This is where we get the idea of equal application of the law. There shouldn't be two systems, for the poor and for the great. One system for all people. We all should judge our neighbor fairly. That's what God requires of us. And you may be wondering, how does this apply to the public square? How does this apply to me in my workplace, in my place of employment? Well, if God has placed you over people, are you able? Are you an able manager? Are you truthful? Do you just talk behind your employees' backs, or do you tell them the truth? When there's a performance issue, you talk to them. When they do a good job, you express gratitude for that. Do you have a fear of God? Because in the public square, we oftentimes think of pastors having a higher form of judgment by God for their teaching. But the reality is, if you've been placed over anyone, you're going to have a higher judgment. God has entrusted that authority, so you have a fear of God. And will you not be bought? In other words, can people buy your praise because they flatter you with their lips? Or maybe they buy you Starbucks, or they do this, or they do that. What type of person are you going to be in the public square today? Now think about that for a moment. And it says that you're not supposed to have two systems. You're not supposed to have your favorites at work, but you are to judge rightly. All right, so James 2:1, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. So even our faith should not be held in an attitude of personal favoritism. God loves all of his creation. Every single human being he loves, every single animal he loves, every tree he loves, every aspect of his creation he loves. And so we want to see God moving in our midst, and yet we oftentimes forget that God goes before us in all things and that he is impartial. He loves us. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. So is God being impartial good or bad? Well, it depends. It's horrible if you're doing wrong, because you're not going to get favoritism by God because of, you know, who your grandma is or something, or whether your grandpa was a pastor, or your uncle or someone in your life that you look up to had a walk with God. You're not going to get partiality for that from God. So if you're doing wrong, you need to repent and turn to the living God. If you're doing what is right, that honors and glorifies God, and you've given your life by confessing Jesus as Lord and believing in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you're living by faith through grace in Jesus Christ, then we know that he's still impartial. Why? Because you recognize that Jesus had that payment for you. You recognize that he made the payment for you, that he made a way when there seemed not to be a way, that he called you and set you on the rock of Christ Jesus. The thought keeps going through my mind is, well, isn't his grace partiality? No, it's not. Jesus's payment fulfilled the law. Every one of us, all of humanity, has broken God's law. We're all sinners. And it's those who have received the payment of that sin, for that sin, that makes a difference. And so he is impartial. All right, let's wrap things up here. Oh, wait, one more verse. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him, fears God, and does what is right is welcome to him. Now, I'd encourage you to go back and read Acts chapter 10. In its entirety, but this is the conclusion statement that Peter made. And it is important that we understand that God is not one to show partiality, but we need to have a fear of him. A fear of him, and does what is right and welcome to him. So What's our application? Are you going to show partiality today in your leadership? Are you going to be impartial? Are you going to be a person who is able? Remember those elected officials or selected officials at the beginning? Are you going to have a fear or reverence of God? Acts chapter 10, at the beginning, fear of God. Are you going to tell the truth? Is today going to be a day that you just tell the truth? Praying over your lips that that would happen. Are you going to be bought off? Are you going to be bought off today? Can people purchase you? All right, let me pray, and then we'll sign off for today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I pray a blessing upon this time. And Lord, we do pray as we go into the public square that we'll be able, that we'll be truthful, we'll have a fear of you and not take a bribe. God, you go before us in all things, surround us in all things. And God, you've taught us the way not to show partiality, but to be impartial. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.